Tony Broom Ministries welcomes you for the following Bible message from God's Holy Word. Here's a tongue twister title. I bet you can't say it but once. John's Judas Jury Judgment. Use God's Word. Well, Jesus had been talking to the disciples, and he had told them what it took to make total commitment. He said, you have to get to the place where you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Well, this offended some of the disciples, and they turned back and walked no more with him. And so he said, does this offend you? He said, what about the 12? What about you? Are you going to also go away? And Simon Peter said, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And by this we know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. All of the gospel writers mention Judas, the man who betrayed Christ. But John really lays it on the line. He presents evidence against Judas Iscariot like no other. The name Iscariot means murderer. So right off the bat, we know that Judas Iscariot, he lived up or lived down to his name, whichever way you want to look at it. This is a tongue twister title. John's Judas Jury Judgment. Try to say that two or three times. John's Judas Jury Judgment. You, the jury, get to examine the evidence yourself. The evidence is presented in a series of exhibits, each one tagged with a T word, a word which begins with the letter T. Exhibit A comes up. The word is traitor. John chapter 6, verse 70 and 71. The disciples had been asked the question, will you also go away? Peter said, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal and everlasting life. And we know and believe that you're the Christ. Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. So we see that his first exhibit presents Judas as the traitor. He is the one the scripture tells us that would betray the Lord. And all the gospel writers present him as that. Only John presents the evidence that we look at today against him, and he really goes into detail. Let the record show that Judas is the Benedict Arnold of the Bible. How would you like to be known as the Benedict Arnold of the Bible? You know, Benedict Arnold is the one who was the traitor of America and the traitor in the war. And the Benedict Arnold of the Bible is Judas Iscariot. This evidence has to be true, because it was given and spoken by the Lord himself. The Lord is the one that said, one of you is a devil. One of you is to betray me. Here is Exhibit B. The word is thief. John chapter 12 has a scene of Jesus coming to the house of Mary, Martha, Lazarus. They have a feast there. And Mary breaks open this expensive box and pours the ointment on the head of Jesus and anoints him. Chapter 12 of John, verse 4. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him. And this description goes throughout the book and throughout the Gospels. He's tagged with this description. Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, the one that should betray him. And here's what Judas said. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Let the record show that Judas was the treasurer of the group, and that there is strong evidence that he had been embezzling funds. John says he was a thief. How did he know? Well, he was part of them there with the group. John knew what he was doing, and without doubt, the others knew what he was doing too. Judas has evidence against him. he was the one that not only stole, but he was the one that had the bag. And that's a dangerous person to have carrying your purse or your merce or whatever it was. He was toting the bag, and he was a dangerous person to do it because he was hoping himself and taking out from what was there. Here is Exhibit C, tempted. Now we're in John chapter 13. Jesus, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them until the end. Verse 2, supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Just think of that. The devil can put something in somebody's heart that's not right. Now, if you're right with God, the scripture said the evil one does not touch you. He cannot touch you. He cannot do anything to you. We are born of God. God's seed, God's word remains in us, and the evil one does not touch us. He touches us not, the scripture says. But if you have a heart, the gates and doors of your heart is open to the tempter. He can do all kind of things to you. He can put things in your heart. He can actually come along, and the scripture tells us this in Matthew chapter 13, Mark chapter 4, what we call the parable of the sower. He can take the word that is sown in somebody's heart, and he can actually snatch that word out of their heart to keep it from being planted where they can believe and be saved. That's what the evil one can do. Now, the evil one has no power in himself, but he has power because so many people are giving him power. So many people are turning their lives and the controls of their members of their body and lives over to the evil one. And it's just like right here. The devil having put into the heart of Judas to betray the Lord. Now that is a powerful thing, that he could be there, right there at the supper table with the Lord. The Lord is about to wash the feet of the disciples. The devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. He put this plot in his heart. He put this thing in his heart to betray the Son of God. As they were eating the Passover, Jesus said, "One of you will betray me." John asks, "Lord, who is it?" Verse 26, Jesus answered, "He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it." And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Now, it always describes him and tells you exactly who it is, so you'll have no mistaking of who we're talking about. When he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Now, Judas had a choice. Up to this point, he had a choice. He could have said, "I don't want it. I will not do this. You're the Son of God. You called me into the ministry. You gave me a part of this apostleship. I will not do it." But he has a choice to make, just like everyone has a choice to make. Will we follow Jesus, or will we follow the evil one? Judas had a choice, and some people don't think he had a choice. They think that he was just there to do it. He had to do it. Scripture said he would do it, and he had to do it. Well, somebody had to do it. But Judas had a choice. God is not that kind of God. He's not going to make someone and pre-program them to be lost, to be evil, to be damned for hell. That's not the kind of God I serve. God gives everybody a choice. Even Judas had a choice. After the sop, Satan entered into him. Now, the devil having put in his heart to start with to betray the Son of God. But now, after he received the sop, that is, he ate the morsel, Satan himself entered into Judas. Then said Jesus unto him, "What thou doest, do quickly." Now, no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, "Buy those things that we have need of against the feast." You have to buy things in order to have the Passover feast. And some of them thought that that's what Jesus was talking about. Or maybe they thought that he should have given something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went out immediately out, and it was night. And what a dark, dark, gross, dark night that was. Here is one of the 12. He receives a sop. Satan fills his being, fills his heart, enters into him. Not just a demon. This is not just a demon. This is not just one of the little imps. This is Satan himself. Satan himself fills Judas Iscariot because he said, I don't want to mess this one up. I got to do this myself. This cannot be charged by a little demon. This is a job that I got to take care of. Satan himself fills him. He receives a sop. Satan enters him. Jesus said, what you do quickly. And he goes out immediately, and it was night. Let the record show that Judas was tempted by allowing the devil to put bad things in his heart. That's what happens when you're tempted. The devil puts bad things in your heart. We have conclusive evidence that he totally yielded to the temptation. Here is Judas now. Exhibit D. And the word is treason. There's so much treason going on in our country right now. And Judas was involved in treason. John chapter 18. Jesus had finished that wonderful high priestly prayer in John chapter 17. And now he closes that prayer. He prays for the disciples. He prays about himself. He prays for you and I, those who would believe on him through their word and through the name of Jesus. He prays. And now in chapter 18, verse 1, when Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, where was a garden, into the which he entered and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus ofttimes resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Now he leaves this caravan and comes against Jesus, being weak in the flesh and being certainly outnumbered. He has this military caravan, and he comes against the Lord. He knows where the Lord is likely to be because he knows that he meets there often with his disciples. So here he is, sneaky, sneaky, slippy, slippy alone. Let the record show that by this time, Judas is totally possessed of the devil by Satan himself. Evidence find him guilty of high treason. Those of you in the military, you know what high treason is. High treason is that big guilty crime. Evidence finds him guilty of high treason, as he is clearly seen actually turning to be with the enemy and leading their military band for the express mission of arresting and condemning Jesus. And now, here is Exhibit E. The word is trapped. It's like Elvis. Caught in a trap, can't get out. That's what happened to Judas Iscariot. Chapter 18, verse 4. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him. So he's leading the band now to go against the Lord. Their mission, they have one mission. It's not mission impossible either. Mission is to condemn the Lord. And here is Exhibit E. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. I am. I like that I am. I am he. Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. Now we find Judas standing with the enemy, standing with those who are against the Lord. Let the record show that Judas is now completely trapped, as he is seen betraying the Son of Man with a kiss. Evidence proves without doubt that there is now no turning back. He has totally given himself to the devil and sold his soul out to hell. No wonder Jesus had said concerning him, good were it for that man if he had never been born. How would you like that said about you? And Jesus had said it was good for this man, this particular person, if he had never been born. So here's our final argument. Remember, this is John presenting this Judas evidence to the jury for judgment. The word is tragedy. John does not record the fatal end of Judas. We will have to consult Matthew for this. Matthew chapter 27, verses 3 through 5. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself, and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And when it said Judas repented himself, it didn't say he repented, but he repented himself. Perhaps he thought that Jesus would use some kind of, as it were, magic power or supernatural power to get out of it. I don't know what he thought, but he repented himself. That is, he got caught up with, and the 30 pieces of silver, he bargained to betray the Son of Man for 30 pieces of silver. And now the 30 pieces of silver, that money was of no worth to him. If we serve the devil and we go with the evil one, anything that he gives us, anything that he promises us, it'll turn out to do us no good. Even the 30 pieces of silver, he didn't have a chance to use it. He didn't have a chance to spend it. He didn't have a chance to do anything with it. It became a snare. It became a plague to him. And that's what happens to us. Anything we gain in sin, anything we gain by serving the evil one, it becomes a snare to us. We don't even want to have anything to do with it. He said, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. Peter tells us in Acts chapter 1, verses 17 and 25, that Judas was numbered with us and have obtained part of this ministry. That he was part of the original ministry, the apostles of the Lord. He was trained personally by Jesus and was part of the apostleship. From such a lofty position and noble privilege, he by transgression fell that he might go to his own place. Since there are only two places to go, and anyone can either go to heaven or hell, we can say assuredly that the place where he went is hell. Such a terrible end for one who had been an apostle, yea, even one of the 12. So this tells us, and I therefore, says John, submit to the court and to you the jury, that none of us are exempt from the snares, temptations, and tricks of the evil one. But if we are true to Christ, instead of betraying him or turning away from him, he has already given us all power and all authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. This is John's evidence, and he presents it against Judas Iscariot. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the opportunity to look at such a one that we would consider a tragic end. And I pray today, Lord, that you would use your word to help us to remain true to Christ. Help us to stand true, to stand faithful in these trying times in which we're living. There's so much hate, there's so much betrayal, there's so much guilt and deliverance and killing of innocent blood, taking of lives. There's so much stealing and looting and burning, so much evil going on in our nation and the nations of the world. And I pray, Lord, that we would be true to you, that we would be faithful to you, because you're faithful to us. You're faithful to your word. Your word is true, and your word does not change with the times and customs and cultures of men. Your word is forever settled in heaven, and we thank you that we love you, and we thank you that we know you, and we thank you that you are dependable, that you are trustworthy, that what you say is true, and what you say you'll do, and we give you praise for it. And I pray that you would encourage us to stand true, not only for ourselves, but our families. Help us to reach this world and generation for Jesus Christ. I pray in his name. Amen. Thank you for listening to this Bible message from God's Holy Word. The title has been John's Judas Jury Judgment. Make sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior and your Lord. We never want to betray or disappoint him. This has been a production of Tony Broome Ministries.